According to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to start with a word of prayer. Although Jacob already opened us in prayer, I'll say another short prayer here to get us started. The blessings of being able to give such a report are a real opportunity for encouragement. And we have it in the book of Acts. We have it in Acts chapter 13, where they went forth on their missionary journey, and having been commissioned by the word of God's grace, and the congregation at Antioch prayed and laid hands on them and then sent them forth. And when they returned, they gave a report, and they returned back to Antioch and reported of all their journeys, and it served as an encouragement, and it served as a very edifying time. So it's different than our standard Bible class. It's different from where we open the Word and develop a passage, but nevertheless, it is a valid activity for a local church to participate in, and we are very blessed to do so here tonight. Acts 14:27, when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. All right, let's open with a word of prayer and dedicate our time to his glory. Almighty Father, we praise your name for all you've accomplished. Your working, Father, is beyond all that we could ask or think. And the completed journey is a real excitement to be able to communicate to this flock. They are a part of it, Father. They are fellow workers, partakers in all the work accomplished as they've prayerfully supported it, as they financially supported it. As Father, this little assembly here in a tiny little spot on Woodrow Avenue bears tremendous fruit around the world, and we only catch glimpses of all that you do, and yet, Father, it is these little glimpses are tremendous encouragement. I want to thank you for that. We commit to you now our time of study, and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Some 8 time zones east of here is Ukraine. And we'll just bring this on around. A lot of folks get Ukraine mixed up with Russia. It was they're not exactly interchangeable. They're very close, racially speaking, as far as being Slavic and so forth. And for, of course, so many years, Ukraine was a major feature of the Soviet Union. With the fall of the Soviet Union, though, Russia itself is now smaller than, of course, the old Soviet Union was. Ukraine is this region here to the southwest of Russia, just north of the Black Sea, just north of Turkey and the more Bible lands, I guess, that we're familiar with. It is interesting, though, as I kind of focus in on the west here, when the Soviet Union fell, these regions to the west kind of went opposite directions. The Baltic states of Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania up here on the north, they were eager, as you couldn't imagine, to break from the Soviets, to move to the west, to get more European-centric and European-oriented. And to this day, they're very Western-oriented, European. And Belarus did just the opposite. Belarus maintains very close ties to Moscow, very close ties to Russia. Their government to this day remains communist, very difficult for Christian missionaries to go in there. VMI has a team in there, but it's very, very difficult. Jim Myers was in there with VMI, one of the first groups to go in there. But while they were serving in Belarus is when some of the first opportunities presented themselves down here in Ukraine. And Jim and Phyllis found themselves traveling to Ukraine more and more frequently. And more than 10 years ago now, relocated to Kiev, went independent away from VMI, and they have their own mission agency now in Kiev, Jim Myers Ministries, or James F. Myers Ministries, I guess is what it's called. In any event, the Ukrainians are following, at the moment anyway, following after the example of the Baltic states. They want to be pro-West, they want to be pro-America, they want to be identified more with Europe, they want to be more westward focused than eastward focused. And for the moment, that's the case. There is, though, a division in their government. There's a faction that wants to be more Russian aligned. And so there's a lot of tension going on. In fact, Mr. Garlick called my wife to find out if I was in any kind of trouble last weekend. I didn't even realize this, but there were evidently troops headed for Kiev as they were going to resolve their political differences with a show of support, a show of military force. Anyway, that just kind of shows you some of the divide that still is there. We want to keep that in prayer. We want to pray, not that we're choosing political sides, but we want to pray that the politics are such that it continues to support the gospel message. And that's ultimately what it comes down to. The driver, Sasha, who took me to the airport, picked me up from the airport, he was discussing some of the things. In many ways, he had a very well-paying job. He was well-positioned. Things were doing well for him under communism, more so economically than he has to this day. And yet he wouldn't trade it for anything. He says he's thankful that in the freedom they have today that Jesus Christ can be proclaimed. And that's what he rejoices over. The river, the Dnieper River, is the dominant geographical feature. It enters into the Black Sea here, down here by Odessa, just north of Sevastopol and the regions down there, Yalta and whatnot, down on the Crimean Peninsula. The Crimean Peninsula is also a Ukrainian territory. But the Dnieper River that flows all the way through the entire length of Ukraine basically splits it into two halves, what they call the left bank and the right bank. Those banks are backwards in our way of thinking because they face south. The river flows south, and so if you're oriented to a river and that's the way the river's going, then the left bank is what we would call the east bank, and the right bank is what we would call the west bank. So it's backwards in our way of thinking, but it's normal for them, so we don't try to change it. Anyway, the river flows right through Kiev, so the left bank is the one that tends to be more Russian-oriented, Russian-language-speaking. For all the years of the Soviet Union, actually, Ukrainian was suppressed. And most of the older people to this day don't speak Ukrainian. Russian is the daily spoken language. Since their independence now in 1992, they're teaching more Ukrainian in the public schools, and the younger generation is getting Ukrainian, and the government is very insistent that all official documents, business, and all the rest have to be done, government business has to be done in the Ukrainian language rather than the Russian language. So they're making those adjustments right now. When I teach, everything is translated into Russian as the primary spoken language, but then they compare it with Ukrainian because their actual Ukrainian Bible is a better text. It's key to the critical text, and it's a better Bible translation. Kiev, 2.5 million people, real large city, very urban. Oops. Very modern. Although I must say, I did enjoy my hot water shower this morning. They turned the water off, the hot water off, for maintenance. Being as the country was going through a heat wave anyway, they decided this is a good month to do our maintenance. And they did their annual maintenance on the boilers. And so we lost hot water. Had hot water for the first 3 days there. And then the remaining 12 days was cold shower routine. So I did enjoy this morning. I almost missed church. I was enjoying that shower this morning when I woke up. Anyway, other than these weird quirk holdovers from the Soviet times, you know, when you lose your hot water, it's not just your building. It's six blocks all around. It's very communal oriented. And when the big boilers go out, it's not just your building that's going to lose it. Some interesting things. Anyway, left bank and right bank. Most of the city itself, the political buildings, the palaces, the museums, all the tourist spots, the pickpockets, the other trouble is over there on the left, on the right bank. And this is really the main part of town right here. And if you ever want to just browse around on Google Earth, you can click all these Wikipedia logos and read all about the different cultural features and things. I didn't do as much sightseeing this time as I had done 2 years ago. We did do the botanical gardens on Monday, the first Monday I was there. We did some walks along the river and saw a few things, but not nearly as much as the previous trip. There was just too much teaching going on, and the evenings were tied up with different things, so we didn't do as much of the tourism as we did the first time there. So this is really the city center, and I was warned about a whole lot of things after dark. In fact, the night before I arrived, Todd Kennedy got robbed on the subway. Digital camera was stolen and some different things. He lost a couple hundred bucks or hryvnia, which is not as bad as dollars. Anyway, and so he flew out. He was there until I arrived. He flew out the morning that I arrived. So that was fresh on everybody's mind, saying, watch out for the pickpockets, watch out for the downtown areas, and so forth. Fortunately, Lord took care of me. I didn't have many of those issues. But some of the features over here I've spoken of in the past, including the Lavra. This complex includes a couple different churches, a monastery, these caves, unbelievable art. And unbelievable, the beauty of these buildings is beyond description. The external beauty of these buildings is beyond description. But the reality of the Orthodox Church is so bankrupt, it just breaks your heart. You have all these pilgrims going into these catacombs to kiss the bones of the saints and to show their adoration and to show their reverence and in the hopes that those saints are going to pray to Jesus so that the grace can be extended to them. It is an unbelievable system that they have set up. But a monastery that's going to be celebrating its 1,000th anniversary on, it was founded in 1051. So here in just another 40 years or so, they're going to get their 1,000th anniversary. And this toured it last time. People were asking, are you going to go back there and watch them kiss the bones some more? And I said, no. And sure enough, I didn't. We walked past it. But did not go in and did not look at the bones. We did walk past this lady statue over here. She's something else here, Lady Victory. That's commemorating the great Soviet victory and the great patriotic war and different things. The sword actually was originally too tall. And the city leaders got upset because the sword point was higher than the top of the Lavra bell tower that I was just pointing you to. And they decided that they didn't want a military statue to have a higher elevation than the bell tower of the Lavra, so they cut the sword down a little bit. So in the panorama views, the sword point is lower than the church itself. The most significant touring we did was down here at the Botanical Gardens, and I'll show you some photographs of it in a moment. But we walked all through these botanical gardens. We spent a Monday at the Botanical Gardens and touring all around. I got to be honest, though, I figured it out within 30 minutes of the day getting started. It was a couple of girls from the church, and they wanted to spend time with Titus Kennedy. And Titus Kennedy had been in the country for about a year. He was teaching Greek, teaching Hebrew. Anyway, I was dad. I was the chaperone. We had fun. The four of us went through the gardens and toured the different things. And here's the real beauty of it. Titus and I loved it. We talked. We got along. It was like we were ignoring the girls. They were just kind of, they had their own conversation and whatever else they were doing, I don't know, but I mean, it was real nice. They picked a picnic lunch, and we sat on the grass, and we ate food, and we enjoyed the botanical gardens. I just think we probably should have spent more time with the girls. At least they were hoping to spend that time with Titus. Anyway, then the long walk back along the river, back to our subway, and such was our touring. Most of the time was spent over here on the left bank, because this is where the school is located and most of the other facilities for the church, for the school, for everything else was pretty well over here on the left bank. And I'm going to show you photographs here in a moment. But this was my life for 2 weeks. Was this part of Kiev and in between these two subway stations. We'd have a mile walk to the subway, get on the subway, two subway stops later, get off, half mile walk to the school, and then repeat that, going the reverse direction in the evening. And subway ride there and back. Teaching, like I say, 32 sessions, four sessions a day, 4 days a week, made for 16 sessions a week, 2 weeks there, made 32 sessions in teaching Daniel and Revelation to the students. It was a lot of fun. The church actually meets here in a pretty significant size elementary school. And then the church offices are across the street. The Bible College used to be in the same block, but they lost the lease there in that place. So they bought, actually, a condo-type apartment, a dual apartment thing that had been blended into one large apartment. And they were actually able to purchase that a couple of years ago now for a very bargain sum compared to prices that have tripled in just the last 2 years. So they're very blessed now to be in a facility there that will be their permanent facility, at least for the near future. So that was my life. And I'll tell you, the McDonald's is right here. But I resisted until the very night before the flight back. Then I finally hryst gave up. I had 34 hryvnia left in my pocket. I said, I got to spend the money before I leave the country. And I went, you cannot eat 34 hryvnia worth of food at McDonald's. I stuffed myself with 23 hryvnia, and that was all I could handle. All right. These apartments are something else. They are what Jim calls Soviet ugly. And all of these long rows here are about six stories tall, and they just kind of form a little wall around you when you're walking in that area, and it's just unbelievable. Thousands and thousands of people that live in that region. Two of these towers are about 20 stories. Jim's building and the three next to it are about 10 stories, and it's just thousands and thousands of people that are packed into this block, all without hot water for the for the time that I was there, but that was kind of the neighborhood for the different walks and things. All right. Well, that gives you an idea on some of the geography. By the way, if you have any questions, feel free to ask, and I'll give you more of the tour at some point. I do want to show you the pictures, and I do want to communicate really what was the spiritual blessing of this trip, what I was expecting, what I wasn't expecting. Titus took me over here to TGIF for one of our dinners. And then the Arizona barbecue was... If you ever go to Kiev, you got to go to the Arizona barbecue. It's very American. Menus are written in English. They're playing Elvis Presley music and other things on the radio. Great barbecue. A little bit of Tex-Mex. They throw in some enchiladas and things. Anyway, good opportunity. It was down here by the waterfront in one of the oldest parts of Kiev, right by this tiny little, they got a tiny little Orthodox church that just sits there off the pier. It's the weirdest thing. You got the waterfront, and then right off the pier is this little tiny chapel, Orthodox chapel, that sits out there. Anyway, it's a cute little deal, and right by the barbecue place. All right. As far as the pictures go, I'm going to put a couple of sets up here. The set from 2 years ago, as well as the set from this year, because the biggest surprise to me was not the current students, but the actual alumni from 2 years ago and 3 years ago and 4 years ago. And the open doors that have come up in just the last year have been almost like a waterfall, just cascading one after another, and these doors are opening in an amazing way. I'm going to go back to the Ukraine map to show you that they've got opportunities that have just in the last year opened up a thriving church over here in Lviv. Lviv has nearly 1 million people on the far western end of Ukraine, and one of their graduates from the year before I was there, he graduated in 2004, and he has now taken that group, started as a Bible study, now it's a church. They've got nearly 100 members now. It is taking off like gangbusters there in Lviv, and that's part of the fruit that's being borne by the training ministry there in Kiev. Likewise, groups going there in Odessa. Kharkov is the second biggest city in Ukraine, and of course in Kiev. One of the students that I trained 2 years ago is going to be starting a new church on the very northern end of Ukraine. A little neighborhood out here. I forget what it's called now. Jim and Phyllis have a farmhouse northeast of town. I'll show you pictures of that in a moment. But there is a little neighborhood. There it is. Try to pronounce that. Troyesh, whatever that is. Anyway, one of the students from 2 years ago is going to be starting a church out there. And I told him we'd be praying for that. We'd be praying for his wisdom. We'd be praying for his humility in being able to start that church. One of the concerns is that he is a young man, is that this would lift him up in terms of pride and cause him to be derailed. And I said, you know, we're going to be praying for you in that regard. But just knowing that that's a snare is the biggest step of all in not plunging into that kind of a problem. So we want to add him to our prayers. His name is also Sasha. You can't go wrong if you just take a guess, call the guy Sasha, and you're probably right. It's a nickname for Alexander. I can't figure that out either. We'll be seeing Jim and Phyllis. They'll be in town. They're coming to Texas in June, And we haven't confirmed the exact date, but they'll be in town, and we'll be speaking here probably on a Wednesday night in June. The two victors, Oleg. Oleg was a graduate. He was a student that I taught, and he is now the administrator for the school. And so much in a very similar vein to what we've been praying for here, we realize that as our training ministry here takes off, one of the things we're going to desperately be in need of is a school administrator. And that is the role that Oleg has taken on. He's got pretty good English skills and amazing computer skills, and he is a huge, huge blessing for the school there. Victor, one of the two victors, he is now the assistant pastor. He was one of my students 2 years ago. He's now the assistant pastor at Word of God Church. When Jim is out of town, he's the one that teaches. He's also the one that does all of the primary visitation, hospital visitation, other visitation. Of course, he's a native. He speaks Russian and all the rest, and everything Jim does when Jim pastors and shepherds and visits and things he has to do with interpreters, Victor is a native, and Victor will be taking over that church when the day comes for Jim to let it go. He also has this other Victor, and he's the assistant. Both Victors are Jim's assistants, and he was another student of mine, and now is actively ministering in that particular church. This lady, I got pictures of her this time too. This is our translator. This is Margaret. If ever you want to pray for a true hero of the faith, you can pray for Margaret. Margaret she speaks English better than I do. She's amazing in her English skills. And when communism ended and missionaries were starting to come in, she volunteered with every missionary that was coming into the country because she wanted to learn the Bible. And so she translated for everybody that came to town and translated and translated and translated. Finally, when Jim came to town, Jim Myers came to town, she realized this is it. This is the best teaching that's around. And she locked into Jim. But she wanted to be the translator because she wanted to learn what the Bible was all about. And she now has such an amazing grasp of systematic theology that it just boggles the mind. You know, she not only can translate, but she can think with you and think ahead, and you'll be teaching something and she'll say, "Now, is this what you meant? This is what you said, but is this what you meant?" You say, "Oh, yeah, that's what I meant," you know. Or she'd say, "Are you going to take it to this passage?" I said, "No, I'm going to take it to this passage instead." She goes, "Oh, okay." Or a couple times I thought, "You know what? Your passage is better than mine. Go ahead. Well, let's go to your passage next." But she was born 1939. Her parents were killed in World War II, so she was left orphaned as an infant, and anyway, raised by a grandmother, and just a wonderful, wonderful lady. And I can't say enough about her and the blessing that she is. These are the two secretaries. The one on the left is the church secretary. The one on the right is the school secretary. Amazing English skills. They translate everything that we put in writing. They put into Russian, and that. Oksana on the left, her sister is Bogdana, and Bogdana is George Meisinger's secretary out of Schaefer Seminary out in Los Angeles. So there's a stateside connection there too. This man, one of the other Sashas, he has no arms. And he was my student 2 years ago. He had to answer all of his tests verbally. Brilliant, brilliant mind, an amazing knack for memorization. But he graduated the year I was there the first time in 05. He has started a ministry for handicapped people in Kiev. And his is probably the largest of all the churches there because it's amazing. It's not really, this is my opinion more than anything else, it's not really a culture that does a whole lot for disabilities or people with disabilities. Kind of, you know, if you're disabled, it's kind of too bad for you. There's not a lot. I mean, they don't have the Americans with Disabilities Act. They don't have a whole lot of things. The compassionate society such as we have here. If you're orphaned and other things, it's kind of a bad place to be in that culture and in that country. But he found an audience, he found a niche, he found a group of people that needed Christ, and he started giving them the gospel, led them to Christ, and now has a thriving ministry. And I couldn't be more proud of him or any of these other students, to tell you the things they're going through. Now, these last two are from 2 years ago still. These guys actually got married a month after I left in 05, I sat next to her in church last Sunday morning, and she didn't recognize me, so that was kind of funny. But her husband, Antonio, is being offered an opportunity in a New Life church. If you're familiar with New Life, they're one of the groups here in the States. They've got missionary work in different countries. But he was offered the entire youth department in a church that's got several hundred members. The neat thing about Jim's school is that their students are getting a reputation around the city as being the finest Bible teachers that are out there. If Jim's not careful, he's going to lose his two victors, because he'll tell you this when he's here, but about a year ago, Jim just kind of stopped going to the inter-church fellowship things, you know, meetings where pastors get together and talk about, you know, the different pastoral fellowships and things in town. He stopped going to that, and he started sending the two victors, and they're starting to get now known as being these fine Bible teachers. And Antonio, it was recognized that even though New Life has their own program, they have their own school, they have their own setup, within a year of him graduating from Jim Meyer Seminary, they are now offering the entire department to Antonio. So he came over, we're praying about it. He needs wisdom in knowing whether or not to take that and the opportunity to provide teaching in that other church. The teaching there is not that good. And to be honest, that's why his wife was attending Jim's church on Sunday morning, because the New Life Church was rather deficient. I mean, once you get, you guys know, you get accustomed to teaching, you get accustomed to being fed, and you just don't want to go back to the you know, 3 points in a poem kind of approach to a little sermonette on a Sunday kind of thing. And so anyway, I told Antonio that we'd be praying for wisdom on that. And then this is the other Sasha that's going to start that church in the far north suburb there. He's got a home group that's meeting. They do a Sunday service, and they do home groups during the week. Again, this Baptist approach. And his group now is larger than any of these other groups, and there's a little bit of a tension there with the senior pastor, who is not exactly comfortable with the fruit being born in Sasha's home group. And Sasha, you know, says, well, what do you want me to do? Tell him not to come? Tell him to go home? That's the pastor told him, yes. Tell them to go home. Tell them that they're not welcome to come to these home groups. Sasha says, I can't tell them that. They're hungry for teaching. So anyway, he's the one that knows he's young. He knows that to become a head pastor of a new church could be very prideful for him. So I told him we'd pray for that as well. Now, to me, that was the biggest surprise. I knew I was going over this year. I was expecting a whole new crop of students this year to have some fun with Daniel and Revelation and do a lot of that stuff. I didn't realize how much there was going to be as a follow-up to the previous trip from 2 years ago. And that is what I think was the most exciting, because the idea of what we're doing here in our ministry workshop and in training Cliff and training evangelists and everything else that we're doing is we're seeing the fruit of that through Jim's ministry. We're seeing what happens when these men are getting trained and they're going out and they're starting their ministries and they're getting planted. To me, that was just a huge encouragement for what we're doing here locally in Austin and getting men trained and putting them to work. All right, this year's group. Most of these early photographs come from the botanical garden. You want to see any of that? I don't know what most of these are. Now, it's 95 degrees outside, and we go into a greenhouse. You know, how dumb is this? I mean, we're chugging water and trying to drink water and trying to stay hydrated, sweating like pigs, and oh, just horrible. But it was real nice. It was very green, and every sign had the Latin name for the plant. It had the Russian name and Ukrainian printing. In some cases, there was English. That's Titus Kennedy. Some of those leaves were bigger than our head, and I was stunned. That leaf there is bigger than your head, and you just get amazed at these things. Anyway. Yeah, when we moved into the cactus room, I said, you know, can we go outside? And it felt so cool to get back outside in the 95-degree weather. But they were very proud of their, these were cactuses that looked like roses, looked like rose petals. And you even see the English word rose up there. What they were really most proud of, though, was their lilacs and orchids. But the trees were in bloom, and it was just a gorgeous day. And then another monastery. The chanting in this building was amazing. I could have sat there for hours. I don't have a clue what they were singing. They were singing in Russian or Greek or whatever. It was an Eastern Orthodox church. But it filled the cavernous chamber of stone, and with this, no instruments. No. It was just vocal chanting. And it was something else. Like I say, beautiful architecture, but the theology breaks your heart. And down by the river, I can't tell you how massive this river is. There's a pretty decent ocean-going barge that makes it all the way up to Kiev. So, the graffiti was kind of fun. A couple of zebras in love, I guess. And then the guy that said, "I love graffiti." I said, "Oh, I'm going to take a picture of that." Anyway, Jim and Phyllis bought a farmhouse. They live out in the countryside. Took some wonderful pictures out there. They got a pretty steep hill at the edge of their property that goes down into the valley. That's their farmhouse. He's going to speak of this when he's here this month. The neighbor lady is getting ready to sell this large house here. Has no electricity, no running water. But they would have a possibility of being able to purchase that property, add it to Jim's property, and create a dorm facility, be able to house their students. Right now they rent a dozen apartments around town for their students. This would be a possibility to kind of get their eggs in one basket, and they're praying for that as an opportunity. So I said we would join them in that prayer. The outhouse remains, but they do have running water in their farmhouse. New neighbor moving in. Place of great meditation. All right, we'll get to the students here in a moment. Yes. Not during the Soviet era, or and during the Orthodox time?
Well, no, I'm going to like now.
Yeah, they would not be welcome in the Orthodox Church.
And there wasn't anything going on during the Communist.
Right.
So who came back in, or were there just people who had felt that as faith?
In some cases, yeah, there were believers, underground believers, underground churches during the Soviet years. But in most cases, it was a lot of hunger that was waiting for the freedom to bring missionaries in. And most of the people that are in the Bible teaching church today have been saved since 1992. And that's a lot of fruit in just a few short years.
Yeah.
No, it's culture, it's religion, it's smells and bells, it's incense and ritual and music, and it's very formal. It's twice. Imagine all the formalism of Roman Catholicism and double it, and you get Eastern Orthodox. So it's a very formal mass, very ritualistic. I watched a little bit of it when the high priest went behind the veil, and of course you can't see what he's doing in there. You just see some movement, whatever. And he comes back out, and the smoke from the incense is just filling the place, and the chanting's going on. And he has done his magic spell, and he's come back out, and now the elements are the body and the blood of Christ, and they're going to partake of their mass and do the ritual. In that, but no, there's no teaching. Yes, ma'am. Yes, they're very antagonistic towards Bible teaching. That's right. They view it as inappropriate. They view it as heresy, as defiling the tradition, which is the Orthodox Church, as being just so wrong and inappropriate. Who do you Bible teachers think you are? because you're not properly ordained, you're not properly, and everything has its proper chain through the hierarchy to the patriarch of Moscow and the Russian Orthodox Church. The Ukrainian Orthodox is a branch off of that. And so if you're not of that hierarchy, of that lineage, then your ordination has no value. You're not a legitimate priest. You're this heretic. Remember, and we'll talk about this tonight in church history. The Eastern Church did not have a Protestant Reformation, not like the Western Church did. And so much of our tradition, when we go in there to teach Bible class and ordain pastor teachers and to set up local churches with pastors and deacons and things we take for granted, that's alien in an Eastern Orthodox mindset. So there's a fair amount of conflict in that. Cliff. The communists allowed the Orthodox to keep their rituals going. Yeah. That should be a clue right there. If the communist atheists don't mind the ritual mumbo jumbo and they maintain the external forms of the Orthodox, they allowed that to take place. The Lavra was allowed to function. The Hagia Sophia was allowed to function. They wanted Bible teaching and they wanted evangelical missionaries to come in. Yeah. All right, this is now in the new school facility. And another picture of Margaret there. And, whoops. Lindsay, did you have a question too? No, neither last time or this time. They do communion on the first Sunday of the month. And I've not been there for a first Sunday of the month yet. I asked them that too. I said, I've never seen you guys take communion. When do you do communion? And so they told me. They do it every month. It's just the first Sunday of the month, and I haven't been there for it. As I said, they got a double apartment and are using this for their new school facility. This is the main classroom right here. Basically folding chairs in an empty room. That's the Bible college. And the teacher sits at that desk where you can set up your laptop. And they got pretty good wiring. They got internet. You can plug into the Cat 5 cable there and plug into the projector there. The whiteboard doubles as the projector screen. So if you're going to do the projector, you got to erase everything that you drew on the whiteboard and that. But they got the projectors mounted up there in the ceiling. It's a pretty good setup. All right. Now I'm going to forget the names. Slava. He was the oldest student. He was in the over 40 category. That man just turned 32. We had a birthday party for him on Thursday. And she's the wife of a husband and wife pair. I'll show you their picture here in a moment. They had a break room. This guy had the best English in the class. He wants to come to Texas. We may see him here shortly. He's a neat kid, and his brother's also in the class. This is their school library, two banks of books. Titus Kennedy and the Nina is the school secretary. More of the students. There were so many Sashas, they decided, okay, we're going to give you all different nicknames. And the guy on the right in the New York Yankee shirt, they call him Mel. Mel, the first three letters of his last name start with M-E-L, so they call him Mel. Plus his favorite American actor is Mel Gibson. And some girl, I said, told him he looked like Mel Gibson, so they call him Mel. And anyway, he's one of the Sashas. The man on the left is the husband of the husband-wife student combination, and I got another picture of them together. The guy in the middle, Sasha, he graduated yesterday. He's going to hook up with some of these groups in Iran and do some undercover work among the Muslim people. His English is horrible, but his Turkish and his Arabic is coming along, and he wants to minister to Muslim people. There's a tough field. Anyway, this is the main entrance to the school. The main classroom is off to the right. This is a secondary classroom where Titus does a lot of the language classes. He doesn't have a projector, doesn't have internet, so we don't do as many of the classes. He's a first-year student, but he was outscoring the second-year students on every quiz we gave and neat opportunity there. There's the husband and wife combo. His English is pretty good, too. And They're both first-year students. They got one more year to go. That's the younger brother. There they are. Those are the two brothers that were in the class. I already mentioned the subway. You had to learn your way around, or you were just doomed, absolutely doomed. Yes, sir. 10 students. They want next year, they want to double that to 20 students, and they're praying about their budget to be able to do so. Remember, I think I might have mentioned this, their students don't pay tuition. They pay their students. They pay a stipend. They pay, it's modest, but they also pay their apartment and their utilities. So the students aren't allowed to work. They're expected to be students. Now, their wives work in some cases, but they're expected to be in the church at every church service. They are the deacons and helpers and servants in the church services. They're teaching Sunday school and they're helping in the church services. That's part of their training in the 2 years that they're in the Bible college. But they're getting paid. And that's part of when Christ called the disciples and said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. They left their career, their secular work of fishing, and they became students. They became disciples. And before they were, we got this idea now where pastors go to seminary and they got to pay for seminary, and they got to pay for their books, and they got to support their family and do all this, and they don't start drawing a salary until they graduate, get their degree, get ordained, become a church, then they start getting paid. Well, Jim's motto is, you know, following the model of Christ is that follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And they're students. That's why they interview students over the summer. And they're selective about the number of students that they take. Because they say, you know, if we're going to pay you, you're going to be serious about this. And you're going to make these commitments and these other things. So, in fact, last week, Oleg was out for 3 days, the school administrator, because he was taking part in a job fair kind of thing, presenting the school, presenting the student body, and that they want to double it to 20 students, and they think that the budget is going to support that. So that's something else we want to be in prayer for, to be able to add to their student body. But this year's class, this year's group was 10, 7 of which graduated, 3 are first year students that are coming back for next year. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. What's that? Two-year program. If they could get Titus to stick around longer, they could even add a third year and get more language work in. But Titus has already said he's moving on to other archaeological pursuits. Yes, ma'am. You know, that would be a great question to ask Jim when he's here this month. Find out why. I mean, it varies. The single guys don't take as much. The married guys take a little bit more, but they do rent different apartments in different parts of town to get these guys a place to live while they're in school. And it's part of what they if they can build a dorm type facility, then that'll cut down on their expenses in the apartments that they're renting and things like that. Yeah. Yes, sir. A guy that's just working a job and feeding his family and that, he'll make $400, $500 a month. Professional guys with a degree, they work in a business type of thing, they might make $700 a month. Yeah. The exchange rate is 5 to 1, 5 hryvnias per dollar, and then purchasing power pretty much doubles that as well. So it's pretty... although prices have tripled in the last 3 years, it's still pretty economical compared to the American economy, that sort of thing. All right. Any other questions? Thoughts? I got to tell you, Jim was excited, and Jim's going to have a lot to say when he gets here, because I mentioned to him how the experience in 05 is what convinced me that we can do a training ministry here in Austin. And many of the elements that he incorporates are elements that we've incorporated here. The module idea for the ministry workshop on Sunday nights, for example. Other things. I would like, as this ministry grows and as the Lord blesses it, again, that concept of being able to pay, being able to support the men that are in training, being able to provide library material, being able to provide Logos software, being able to help get these men that are under training, get them the library and the tools and the equipping that they need to enter into their ministry, I think, is a feature of the Gospels, when Jesus Christ called those disciples and they left their career to be full-time disciples, to be full-time students. I'd like to be able to incorporate concepts like that here as well. Yes, sir. Yeah, right now there's total freedom. Right now the government is wanting to maintain positive relationships with Europe, with America, with the West, and so they have real open freedoms for missionary groups coming in. In fact, I didn't even need a visa this time. Just an American passport or a EU passport gets you in without a visa. So they're very open in that, and they've got that kind of freedom right now. And which is why it's so thriving at the moment. If that starts to fall, or if the Orthodox doesn't like that at all, the Orthodox wants the government to step in and start clamping down on these non-Orthodox type groups. But at least as of now, it's still wide open, and that's a real blessing. Yes, sir. No, the Orthodox Church didn't even have a Reformation. In fact, the Orthodox Church was busy struggling against Islam at the time. And one of the sparks for the Western Reformation was the fact that Constantinople was about to fall, and it finally did fall in 1453. And while Constantinople was being threatened, a lot of refugees were fleeing the East into the West, and they brought Greek manuscripts with them and Greek New Testaments with them, and that was a huge spark in the West for what eventually became the Protestant Reformation. Was there was a fresh influx of knowledge from Greek sources, and scholars in the West started to look through their Greek New Testaments and figured out, you know what, our church is nothing like this. They started reading the New Testament for the first time and realized, you know, our church has problems. And so in the West, there was the Reformation that took place. It didn't happen in the East. In the East, they were busy circling the wagons, drawing up, you know, their defenses and holding out against the Muslims. And so really, after Constantinople fell, Moscow became, they called themselves the Third Rome, and they viewed themselves as the lineage there, they viewed themselves as the legitimate Orthodox Church in the East. And so they never had a Reformation. Yeah. Kind of a sad issue there that continues to this day. There are additional invitations to return. I'm going to save the best, or I did save the best for last. I met a man Wednesday night. Jim has spoken of him as well. He is a native Iranian who can't go back to Iran. He will be put to death if he returns to Iran. And he has his own church, a thriving church of Iranians. And they teach Bible class. They teach it in Persian. They teach in Farsi. He showed me his Persian Bible. He is training men. He's following Jim's model, and he's training pastors. And I met this man last Wednesday night. In fact, he was in the Bible class that I taught last Wednesday night. And at the end of Bible class, he came up and extended me an invitation for me. Next time I'm in Kiev, I get to go and teach in this Persian church, which I'm really looking forward to. He has a dream of returning to Iran. Of course, he can't so long as the mullahs are still in charge. But if that government falls and if Christianity is allowed to return to Iran, he has a dozen pastors ready to go. He wants to have 20 and more pastors ready to go so that they can return to Iran with Bible teaching at that opportunity. Can you imagine? Now, here's a man. This man just humbles me. I count it an honor to have even met him. He's probably in his 50s, I'm guessing. Anyway, he's preparing, he's training, he's getting ready. The day may never come. In his life, he may never see that opportunity come, because, you know, the mullahs are in charge. They may stay in charge forever. You know, they may stay in charge at least till the event, right? So he may never see in his lifetime the opportunity to go back with Bible teaching. But just in case, if the day does come, he's training pastors. And he's preparing material in the Farsi language, in the Persian language, to be able to go back. Now, there are some underground efforts and things, you know, smuggling in Bibles and things like that does take place. But he can't go back personally. And his team of men can't go in there openly. But if the day ever comes when the Islamic Republic falls and freedom comes into Iran like it came into Ukraine in 1992, that's a man that has a team ready to go. And that just humbled me so much to think, you know, he's preparing for a day that may never happen. And he may die and go stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and having never accomplished what he was preparing to do, but you know there's reward there. There's reward there. And I knew of him 2 years ago, didn't have a chance to meet him, finally had the opportunity to meet him this trip, and I was just absolutely humbled at just the blessings of meeting him and the encouragement of fellowshipping the things of the Lord with him. And I just count it an honor if the Lord opens that door for the next trip back to be able to speak in his church. Would I couldn't begin to describe how humbling that would be and what an honor that would be to that group of believers. Yes, ma'am. Oh, no. They had a little bit of it in dispensations because Jim had taught them on dispensations. Many of them, they were puzzled by Revelation. They were puzzled by, you know, what does it mean, and how do we handle these? The symbolism was so awkward in that. But so we did Daniel, we did Revelation. They learned how to handle the symbolism. They learned how to interpret literally, and it was outstanding. Every student did well. They scored on their final exams, high marks, and they're excited because not only do they have an understanding of it now, they want to go and teach it now. They want to go and share it with others, the things that they've gleaned out of that, because they were very blessed to see where the church fits in, where Israel fits in, and how the book of Revelation comes together. So that's huge. And I think these notebooks that we shipped over that are now in Russian, by the way, I should have brought a Russian copy back with me. I didn't. But these Revelation notebooks that are now in Russian, they're getting copied and they're getting used. So that'll be a treat too, as far as that goes. So, all right, well, let's close in prayer, and we'll take about 18 minutes to get your food or whatever you're going to do before our church history class gets started. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the encouragement of your work and all that you're doing, Father. And we continue to pray for that ministry there, each of their graduates, and the struggles that they have, the opportunities, the open door opportunities, Father. We give that to you as well. We thank you for that. We thank you that the word is getting around at the quality of teaching that is to be found at that local church and the quality of men that are being trained in that ministry. Father, we rejoice in that. We pray that might continue, that might thrive. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be fellow workers in that and to be partakers in the fruit there that's being born. And we just count that an honor as well. We thank you and praise you for all these things now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.